diversity of our talents. We have musicians and sound and technical experts. We have people who pray, people who are on pastoral care teams, people who do readings or lead our services or preach for us. We have those who lead our small groups, those who look after our buildings, those who do our finances for us and take leadership roles. And outside of the times we find ourselves in currently, we have those who lead our various outreach ministries to the parish as we try to reach out and serve others. Many in our church family also give very generously financially to support our work and make it possible to do all those things. So church family members in our parish are already doing a lot for serving God, offering our time, our talents and our finances or our treasure. And so the first thing I want to say this morning is to say thank you. Thank you very much, each of you, for all you do to contribute to our church family life and to reach out with the good news of the gospel. Thank you, firstly, for who you are, because you are deeply loved by me, your vicar, by each other, but most importantly, by God. But thank you also for all of those offerings of time, of talents, and of treasure, which are very, very gratefully appreciated. Now, today we're talking particularly about financial giving, giving of our treasure, because financial giving in itself is a spiritual discipline. All of those things are important and all of those things are valued. But today we are talking about financial giving as a call from the Lord. Now, if we think about it, any kind of offering to God is actually a very strange thing, because God created the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies. Psalm 50 says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I think they're rather underestimating there. God's resources are infinite. They are never ending. Yet throughout the Bible, a key part of worship by human beings is making offerings to God. In the beginning, Cain and Abel made offerings to God. Then Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the kings and prophets of all Israel made offerings to God. In the New Testament, when baby Jesus was very small, Mary and Joseph took him and went to the temple and made an offering to God. And then the Apostle Paul, in all of his letters to the churches, told them to make offerings to God every week. And this is something which we do. A lot of people in our parish give by standing order or by transfer or through the parish giving scheme, which we'll explain later. And sometimes when the church is open, people also bring money to church as well. Today, we're going to make a further commitment to this, well, today and this coming week, thinking about our intended giving for the coming year. So, thinking from a biblical point of view, and also thinking from a church history point of view, and thinking about our own parish, everybody here is saying it is good to make offerings to God. I'm sure each of us would say it's good to make offerings to God. And that's because it's a privilege to give back to God some of what he's so generously given us. It's a privilege to be able to participate in his work in the world. We give back to him for his work out of gratitude for everything he's done for us. So let's think about giving a little more in relation to the three readings I chose for this morning. I wanted to choose three because I was trying to find things which would help us in our thinking this week. They're in your service booklet if you want to refer to them again, if you've got that handy. If you haven't got that, you might want to find a Bible, because I'm going to look at each of them as I like to quite closely. So firstly, we have two readings from 2 Corinthians, which were written by the Apostle Paul. Indeed, he talks about giving financially also in Romans in chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, and in these two chapters of 2 Corinthians. So finances and giving financially is something that was clearly very important to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, Paul shows us that Christian giving is an expression, as we've been saying, of the grace of God. In verse 1 of the passage, he doesn't talk about the generosity of the churches in Macedonia at all, but he talks about the grace which God had given to them. i.e. behind their generosity, he explains, is the generosity of God himself. Verse 2 tells us that the Macedonians were facing severe trials and extreme poverty, and yet they were overflowing with joy. And in consequence, verse 3 tells us that they gave even beyond their ability. In verse 4, they pleaded for the privilege of sharing in the service of God's people in Judea. This group of people at church were pleading for the opportunity to give to others. And then in verse 5, it tells us, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. And that's Paul explaining the response from the Judean churches. Christian generosity in whatever form is fundamentally an outflow of the generosity of God. And that's kind of what I'm going to be saying throughout this talk. The Macedonians gave because they knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus had done for them, they also wanted to care for and give financially to others. Let's now look at the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Well, it tells us we reap what we sow, a famous saying both biblically and also in the secular world. Whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously reaps generously. Sowing is another obvious picture of giving. And it also says to us, whatever we give, we should do so cheerfully and ungrudgingly, because the state of our hearts in giving is really important. God wishes us to give generously in response to what he's given us, and it says not reluctantly and not under compulsion. It's very, very important our hearts are right. And the reason we're asking people to spend time praying this week and deciding in our hearts with God as individuals or as couples or as family groups what we may be happy to give to our parish to support God's work here is because it's a heart decision, and it's a heart decision between each one of us and God. We each need to spend time praying and working out this with him. God wants our gift if we're giving it with joy and happily. He doesn't want our gift if we're feeling like our arms being twisted behind our back. Really important. The results of the generous giving in this passage that demonstrate our confession, it's the results of the giving in this passage that demonstrate our confession of the gospel of Christ. What I mean by that is we show our actions in the beliefs of our hearts. Now, how did this happen in these churches? Well, John Stott, who's a famous theologian, explains that Paul is looking, when he writes that, that the generous giving demonstrates the confession of the gospel of Christ. Paul is meaning that it's beyond the financial gift from the Greek churches to the Judean churches that's symbolized. It is a financial gift, but it's so much more than a financial gift. The significance of this collection here wasn't just geographical. It wasn't from Greece to Judea. It wasn't just economical, from those who had more, the richer, to the poorer, those who had less. But in this occasion in particular, it was theological. It was from the Gentile Christians to the Jewish Christians, something that would be very easy to miss on just reading it. This financial offering was a financial gift, really special, but so much more, it was a deliberate and conscious symbol of the Jewish-Gentile solidarity in the body of Christ. In similar ways, our Christian giving can express our theology as well, because the gift symbolizes our support to the cause to which we're giving. And again, John Stott tells us, for example, when we contribute to evangelistic enterprises, we're expressing our confidence that the gospel is God's power for salvation and that everybody has the right to hear it. When we contribute to economic development, we express our belief that every man, woman, and child bears God's image and should not be obliged to live in dehumanizing circumstances. When we give to the maturing of the church, we acknowledge its centrality in God's purpose and his desire for its maturity. When we give financially to the parish of Norcliffe Bear Heath, we express our investment in our church family and the well-being of all within it, and our commitment to the work which we're doing here for God in our locality here, in bringing more and more people into his family alongside us, in caring for those in need, in investing in our schools and nursing homes, in supporting local causes such as the local food bank and other causes when we're able to, in working with other local churches in the Deanery and the Benstead Five and others to preach the gospel, in helping to make our buildings fit for purpose and in a really good position to bless those from the community who use them, with each site becoming community hubs. That's the vision. That's where we're heading. That's where we were heading before COVID struck. That is where we're heading now. It's just been a little bit of a mess in the middle where we couldn't do as much as we wanted to. But we want both of our sites to become community hubs to bless our local area. We've been doing things like converting the vestry at St Mary's into a lovely meeting room and putting in a new shed so that we can store things better with a nice built-in path. We will be putting in a screen at St Paul's. We need to be able to welcome children and be able to worship in different ways here, and it's very, very exciting. In this technical age where we're depending on Zoom and so many things have changed, a screen will transform worship here. We've been carrying out works to the church hall so that the nursery children who are there every day and all the clubs who meet there will feel like they're cared for by us. We can be good landlords to them, and we can invite other people to use our buildings, and they'll think this is a good place to be. I'm not very good about buildings. They're not my interest at all, but people are everything, and that is behind this work that we've been doing. We also share our financial resources with our mission partners. We have 6 mission partners. John and Dorothy's school in the Gambia, John and Dorothy Baxter, that is. Bridges Nepal, which is run by Sani and Yagya Singh. Open Doors, which is a charity which supports persecuted Christians. Christians Against Poverty, which is a UK charity supporting those struggling with finances across the UK. London City Mission and Sutton Street Pastors. We are asking each of us personally to review our financial giving to the parish, but last year we reviewed our financial giving as a parish, and we decided that we should be giving away 10% of what is given to us to help other people in spreading the gospel, good news, and supporting the growth of the kingdom of God. I hope that's made you feel excited, and there's so much more I can say as well. Generous giving symbolises our confidence in the power of Jesus and his gospel, because it promotes thanksgiving to God. Back to the passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanksgiving to God is mentioned 4 times. Verse 11, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Truly Christian giving leads people not only to thank us, the people who donate, but more importantly, to thank God and to see our gift in the light of his, the extraordinary gift of his only Son. Wouldn't it be wonderful if through our generous giving to the parish and through the generosity we can then bestow on our local area, people came to thank God for his grace and follow him because of encountering what Jesus has done for each and every one of us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people looked on our mission and ministry here in Norcliffe Bear Heath and they thanked God because of it? Our final passage chosen for day is Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, and it's the story of the widow's mite. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, the most important word in that short passage is the word all. What matters to Jesus, what mattered then and what matters now, is not the outward appearance of giving. It's the inner state of people's hearts. The widow's gift was more precious than any of the others because she gave all that she had. Now, we're not suggesting that you do that. I did it once. I gave everything I had away until there was nothing left, not a single penny. I knew I was being paid in a week's time, but I had no clue how I was going to get through that week. That was small because I knew I was being paid. This widow didn't know what was going to happen next. We're not suggesting this at all. It's the heart bit I want us to be thinking about. You see, I want to be like that widow. I don't know about you. Not just in financial giving, but in the whole of life. I want to be somebody who is all out for Jesus. And I fall on that so many times. You know I do. So many times you see it yourselves. But that is what I want. That's surely what we all want. To live all out for Jesus. When the widow gave those two coins, there was nothing more left. Nothing more for her to spend. Nothing for dinner that night. Nothing for breakfast in the morning. She gave absolutely everything she had. And why did she do that? Why was she all out for Jesus? It was because she loved God and she knew his love for her. She knew that however generous we are, we can never outdo God's huge generosity to us. She knew that everything she had was God's anyway, and she gave it all back to him in that beautiful, humble, extravagant gift of love. Now, I've talked about this before, but what many people don't realise is if you read that story in isolation, you miss that it happened a week before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus too gave his all for us, and it wasn't just everything he had, but it was his life as well. He did it so that we could get that special relationship back with God that we'd lost. He did it so we could have eternal life. He too performed a beautiful, humble, extravagant gift of love. And in doing so, in giving his all, he transformed everything for us. Things in the temple that day were not at all what they seemed. There were lots of rich people looking like they were giving huge amounts to God. They were doing it very publicly. But it wasn't actually a gift of generosity at all. It really didn't cost them anything, and they really didn't care, actually, about why they were doing it or how they were doing it. But that widow's offering was totally different. Just as Jesus did, she gave extravagantly out of love. And the call to us, with our money, yes, but with the whole of our lives, is to do the same. To give extravagantly out of love, in return for the love which has been extravagantly lavished on us. So this next week, as I've already said, we'll be asking everybody to think about our financial giving, although there are many other types of giving. And the question is it possible for us to increase this a little? Now, we understand it might not be suitable for some of us at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and a lot of us are struggling horribly. Some of us have financial pressures and job uncertainty. We understand that, and we understand completely if you need to reduce your giving instead of increase it. But what we are asking everybody to do is to pray, to spend time with God, and to consider what is appropriate in our own circumstances. What is an appropriate heart response that we feel God is asking us to do? We're also going to be thinking about the ways we can give financially that are most efficient. I mentioned there's something called the parish giving scheme, and Simon is going to be explaining this in the letter that will come to everybody this week, and he's going to talk about that in a few minutes. So, the question I have for each of us as we consider our giving, Michael and I included, is are we giving out of a place where we know that all we have is from God anyway? All we have in life is because of our Lord's generosity to us. And then therefore, as with the widow and her mighty offerings, are we willing to give generously in return. Amen. So now